Welcome to our Friday evening podcast. God bless you for being with us. I'm so excited to be able to get into remnant talk and things that are helping the remnant to come together, to grow into what we believe will be the bride of Christ that will be without spot and wrinkle and will bring back our Lord and Savior. I've got my wife here with me to my right, your left, but my right, and we're ready to get into the Word of God with you. A couple of things up front. First of all, I want to announce that our new website is up and running. Maybe a little bit of a work in progress, but most of it is up, running, ready to go. And let me tell you, it is wonderful. It is really, really, we were just looking at it just before we came on air. You can go to services from there. You can read about our history from there. You can see all the reels that we put on different platforms on there. You can give on there. I go and check it out, but not just that. Make sure you spread the news to people that they can go and find out about the City on a Hill at cityonahillchurch.net or coachurch.net. Both of those will link you to our new website. And like I said, it's fantastic, and we're going to be constantly updating it with new and different things. I'm excited to get this launched so people can find out more about the ark here at the City on a Hill. Yes. So keep that in mind. And then, as always, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we start at the altar. We start with the sacred. We start with the sacred because we want to be a holy people. And unless you have a sense of what is sacred, you're not going to move in the things of being separate and being holy. So we start every Sunday at the altar, at the table of the Lord, because we're going to start with what is sacred. I hope to see you there Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we come and we sit down and we just kind of give ourselves to the Lord for a couple of moments just to kind of see what he puts in our hearts. And as I sat down, I just kept coming back to the same thing. And I just want to discuss for a moment or two the importance or why, because people always ask me, they say, why do you minister from the Old Testament so much? Why do you teach from the Old Testament so much? And my answer to them always is because that's where the Word of God is. That's where we get the things of finding out what God desires. That's how we do it, is from the Old Testament. And people are always shocked by that. And I think we've probably talked about this in a podcast before. But you know, the Bible talks about the Word of God, and it talks about, you know, it's good for doctrine and correction and reproof and all of that. Right. He's talking to Timothy. And what people don't understand is that when Paul wrote that to Timothy, there was no New Testament. Mm-hmm. Literally, there was no New Testament. He wasn't telling Timothy that if you want to be a better man of God, to go read the New Testament. He was telling him, go read the Old Testament. He wasn't, and please understand what I mean by this. He wasn't telling him even, go read the words of Jesus. He was telling him, go read the Old Testament. Now, again, I want to make it clear. I have a passion for reading the words of Jesus. It fills my heart with such love and joy when I read the words of Jesus. I'm so thankful to the Lord that we have that available to us. But you need to understand that when Paul was telling Timothy, or any other time when Paul was referencing the Word of God, and he referenced the Word of God
often,
many times, it was always the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Always. And you've heard me, if you listen to the messages or even on here on the podcast, you know, I'll many times read Paul and talk about what Paul reads from the Old Testament. we've got to understand that if it's good enough for Paul, or if it was necessary for Paul, then it's necessary for us to understand the importance of the Old Testament. And again, I don't want to go too deep. I kind of want to just give just a basic talk about it today. But you got to understand that the New Testament's purpose, the New Testament's purpose was not to change or to do away with what was already divinely revealed in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. God is not going to divinely reveal something and then say, that's no good anymore. He's not going to do that. Even with the law, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. God doesn't do something divinely and just get rid of it. That was never the purpose of the New Testament writings. The New Testament writings were there to more clearly reveal Christ and the Spirit that he was going to send on his behalf. That was the purpose of the New Testament. The purpose was not to change doctrine. And people make a big, big, big mistake when they read the New Testament and they say, oh, well, Paul said blah, 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 or, your hair should look a certain way or your makeup should look. Paul wasn't trying to give doctrine. He wasn't trying to say this is exactly how. He was trying to help the church get through a early struggle that really the struggles have only gotten worse, but he was trying to get them through struggles and give them some idea of how they should do things. But people today, they take those things and they make entire denominations based on it. You have entire denominations that say, well, Paul said this little line, and so we're going to make an entire denomination based on that one thing. And that was never the purpose of the New Testament. The purpose was to reveal Christ and to reveal the Spirit of Christ and to then relate it back to the Old Testament to say, now that you know that Christ is your door, now that you know that you're getting your power from the Holy Spirit, now go back to the Old Testament and you'll see the revelation that God has for you, that he's revealed to you in that place. So I'm going to have Julie read a scripture, and I've talked about this in messages before, referencing it for different purposes, but I want you to read this scripture, and there's so much in this scripture, so much more than what we're talking about today, but I just want to give you an idea of how Paul viewed the Old Testament and how we should be viewing the Old Testament. So, Julie, go ahead and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and begin in verse 1 and just go until I tell you to stop.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Right, let's just state the obvious here. It literally says that in the Old Testament, that all, he makes the point to say, this was all of Israel, all of God's people, all of who was, they were the church of the day. All of them, he literally says, that they were being followed by who? By the spiritual rock. And who is that rock? It is Christ. And it says not only that, does it not say they drank? They drank? Is that not what literally what it says? They drank of Christ. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? People say, oh, well, we can't preach anything that's not Christ. Do you not see that the Apostle Paul was trying to he even started the chapter by saying, I don't want you to be unaware. Mm-hmm. I want you to know the truth. I want you to understand. Don't let anyone deceive you with anything otherwise. I want you to know that all of our fathers were part of a the work of God under Christ. All of them. All of them. They all drank from that rock, which was Christ. So do you see that when you try to get your doctrine from the New Testament, you're failing God. You're failing God. Again, when I said the scripture to Timothy that all scripture, you know, and it talks about
given by inspiration
what it's good for and doctrine. For doctrine and for teaching. And when he said that, I'm not saying to you that you should use the Old Testament. I'm saying to you that all of our doctrine, all of it should come from the Old Testament. That's not the purpose of the New Testament. All of our doctrine should come from the Old Testament. And Paul makes that clear by even saying, listen, you're not doing less by doing that. Christ was right there in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. He was right there, and they all drank from that spiritual rock. And again, the devil has done such a job on God's people. Such a job on God's people. And it's so sad because I know how many people will watch this and just immediately shut it off in their hearts. Immediately turn themselves off and say, well, you know, I'm a New Testament Christian. And that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're not a New Testament Christian, you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. You're a Christian. And somebody decided to call it new and old, and all of a sudden we said, well, we don't want the old, we want the new. And it's so stupid.
That's so true.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. And the Apostle Paul says, no, I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to be aware that Jesus was back there with them, and so you need to look at them. Go ahead and pick up, because it gets even better.
starting in verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness.
Now, I have to stay away from this because I could go down a tangent of this, which I have before, and I've ministered on that particular thing before. And I'm going to let her pick up and read, but don't just let that scripture, don't let it just go out of your ears. Listen to what the word of God is saying. Listen to how it's saying that God was not pleased, because even that is important. Keep reading.
Now these things became our examples.
Wait a minute. You mean the fact that God wasn't pleased with them became our example? You mean these were God's people and God wasn't pleased with them and that's our example? I didn't think I had anything to worry about that anymore. No, the Apostle Paul, he made it as clear as he could, as he absolutely could. He said, those were God's people. They even had Jesus back then. Not the way we have them, but they had Jesus. And they did not please God, and they died in the wilderness. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness because they didn't please God. And Paul said, to you that are hearing this, he said, you better watch what they did because that's our example.
Right.
And if you're not careful, you can claim you're a New Testament Christian. You can claim you're under Christ. You can claim whatever you want to claim, but the same thing will happen to you. Because, again, I'm not saying it's the same in because it was before Christ died, but he met Paul, not some Joe Blow. He says they were under Christ, they died because they didn't please God, and then he said, this is an example to you. Take heed. Be warned. Be warned that if it happened to them, it could happen to you. If it happened to them in their lives, you see, God's plan never changed. How you get into God's plan changed. Christ became the door. How you get into the plan did change. But the plan never changed. The doctrine never changed. The holiness principle never changed. It never changed. When God told the high priest to wear on his forehead something that said holiness unto the Lord, that's because that was the most important thing to God. That was more important to God than anything else. That's why it was on his forehead for everyone to see. Nothing was more important than holiness. And Paul is trying to say here, if they failed God, even though they had Christ, they were all drank from the rock. If they failed God, he said, then you can fail God. And the same thing can happen to you. And that is why Hebrews chapter 12 says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And it even says this, and it sends shivers up my spine every time I read it or say it. But it says, beware, lest any man fall short of the grace of God. Oh, but you know my seeker-friendly minister, he had 20,000 people sitting there listening to him, and he said that I'm good. He said we baptized 10,000 people last month. He said we're all good. You'd better start listening to Paul, who was telling you that you better go back and look. You better go look at what happened to them. Let's finish it up.
Verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted.
Oh my goodness. I mean, he's even getting specific. Mm-hmm. Now he's even getting specific. And that is why Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. You have to lose your appetites. You have to lose your lusts, your wants. You have to lose everything. He said you have to lose your life so you don't turn out like them. And that's why, because I know everyone says, Pastor, that's so hard. But that's why Jesus said, there are few who find it. That's why he said that. Go ahead, read on.
I don't know if we're ready for the next one. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. Making everything idols.
It's we talked about this on Wednesday, I think it was, in our Ark Encounter about Elijah. Elijah got up in front of God's people. The entire nation, he got up in front of God's people, and he said, why are you faltering between two opinions? And that's no different than what's going on today. People say with their mouth, this is actually what, I forget where it was at, but one of the scriptures says, it says with their mouth, they profess to know him.
But in works, they deny him.
They deny him. And that's the same thing that they did in Elijah's day and what they're doing in the church today. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, God has blessed me so much. Oh, we're going to sit and I'm going to read the Bible. Oh, I'm going to sit out there with my coffee and I'm going to sip it in the morning and where it's nice and cool, and I'm going to read the Bible for an hour. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. Oh, I've been saying it over and over again here. Without holiness, it doesn't matter. Without holiness, it doesn't matter, because you can read the Bible, you can pray, you can go to your seeker-friendly church, your denominational church, your Southern Baptist church. You can do all those things. But without holiness, it doesn't matter. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And when it says, lest you become an idolater the way they did, what it's saying is, you can read the Bible. You can follow the cloud. You can follow the cloud of glory. You can do all. You can get on your knees and pray. You can pray before you eat your food. You can sit there with your family or with your small group and do all. You can do all that. You can have young couples counseling. All of it. You can do all of it and still be an idolater.
Right.
And that's what Paul is trying to say. He said, beware. He said, I don't want you to be unaware of what's going on. I don't want you to be unaware of it. And God has this little, you've all heard me say it so many times, but God called this heritage 170 years ago and has always used it to be a prophetic voice, an anointed prophetic voice to warn God's people, whether it be in the country far away, whether it be in this country 100 years ago, or whether it be today. And God is speaking and saying, if you really want to go through the narrow gate and be a part of the few who find it, you had better heed the word of God. And I invite you again, and I don't think we're quite done yet, but I invite you to come to these altars and hear the word of God spoken into your life. Because God is putting together a little group of people here in this ark that he prophesied. A little group of people, he's putting together this ark. And you need to be here. You need to be here so that you can hear this. This needs to be in your life, spoken over you prophetically. It needs to be day after day after day. You need to be here, and I invite you to come. Go ahead and finish the scripture.
And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. To play. I just am picturing several scenarios of things that people so easily, they make their idols and they don't even know to label it that. But it's things that they just, they put ahead of anything else. Say, you know what? I'm going to go to my small group. I'm going to read my Bible with my coffee in the morning. But boy, you know, those 3 weeks we're setting aside to, you know, go to a certain place and play, that comes ahead of anything else. You know, I'll do everything else, work everything else around that. But that 3 weeks with my family.
And here's the thing, it's not.
Okay, I'm going to stop.
It's even more nefarious and dark than that. It's even more. It's those little day-to-day things. Those little day-to-day things that we don't understand are keeping us. It's keeping us from walking in holiness. Because holiness is total separation. That's what holiness is. And the church is teaching the opposite of that. And it's those day-to-day steps that we take that keep us from walking in the proper separation and holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. And this was, I need you to understand what Paul is writing here. He said you had the millions of Israelites. Maybe we don't know the exact number, but it was a lot. And they were all together going through the wilderness. They were all, what did he say? He said they all were under the cloud. He said they all drank from that which was Christ. He said they all did that, and they still were displeased God, and were their bodies were left in the wilderness. Even though they followed the cloud, even though they all drank from Christ. So when I get up, and he said, that's your example. So when I get up week after week and I say, this is what the Lord has said, that the Lord has said, don't get up and just claim that you're a Christian. Don't claim you gave your heart to the Lord. Don't claim that you're, that you know that you've been baptized. Don't get up there and claim, well, I've done it, so I'm good. Because Paul said that's exactly what happened to them. He said they were under Christ. He said they drank from the water. He said that they all followed and were under the cloud. He said, and they ended up dead in the wilderness. Mm. And what was the next thing he said? He said, this is your example. This is your example. This is, and people, listen, I know how people are. Even, dare I say, even people that maybe even are here in our little place here. at the city. I know how they say, well, you know, but God's given me a promise. God's given me a promise. Or well, you know, God's just doing a little bit different thing. I believe you, prophet, but God just, he's showing me something just a little bit different for my life. And I'm telling you, there are few who find it for a reason. There are few who find it for a reason. For a reason. And Paul makes it clear. He says they were under Christ. They drank from the water. They were all. He said to them, he says to us, he says, I want you to know they were all. He said, I'm not talking about a small group. He said they were all under the cloud. Just like all of the Christians today, they're all under the auspices of God. They're all under Christ. All of them, all the church, the tens of thousands around here, the millions around the world, they're all under Christ. But how many out of all those people made it into the promised land?
Two.
And if we're equating the promised land with the heavenly land, which you and I both know everybody does, now you see why there are few who find it. There are few who find it. And we had better shape up. Even here, listen, I always say we're different, but we've got to lead the, if you're a part of the city on the hill, we're going to lead the pack in this. And we got to make sure that we understand that it is the last days of the last days, which puts even more seriousness on it. I don't know how you get more serious than what Paul wrote, but if you can, then we're doing it. Do you understand what I just said? They were all under the cloud. They were all under Christ. Am I making a mistake?
No, that's exactly what it says.
They were all word for word under Christ. All of them. All of them. And Paul said, I'm telling you this because this is your example. And he said, they all ended up scattered dead in the wilderness. And how many made it into the heavenly realm? Two. Two. Out of the hundreds of thousands or millions of Israelites, two. And so I say again to you, for people that say, Pastor, you're pushing too hard. You're going to lose people because you're pushing so hard. No, my answer to that is, if that's the case, then they're already lost. And if someone looks at this ministry or has been a part of this ministry and they can walk away from what God is speaking here, then they very well might be lost as well, which is so terribly sad. But I don't care. I don't care how much they pray. I don't care how much they speak the word of God. I don't care how, I don't care. I don't care who and where and what they go to church. I don't care. God's plan is very narrow. It's very strict. Oh, wait a minute. It's almost like Jesus said it's the narrow gate.
And you have to strive.
It's almost like he said it's the narrow gate. It's almost, wow. Because he did. It's the narrow gate. You have to strive to go through the narrow gate. And we're going to do that. And we're going to, I'll end with this. I said on Wednesday night, you're saved. God creates in you a new heart. But then Paul says, you have a job. He says, you have to put off the old, and you, not God, you have to put on the new. You put off the old man and you put on the new man. You have to do it. That's not something that we can choose not to do. If you want to make sure you don't fall in the wilderness, if you want to make sure, Paul said it for a reason. God's people are living in the wilderness. And you want to make sure that you make it out of the wilderness? You have to put off the old man, put on the... No. Jesus did that for me. No, he didn't. He did not. He created in you a new heart. He didn't put the old man off. You have to do it. Holiness is, I keep saying this, it's the gotcha. It's the gotcha of, and I know people might not like it, but I'm saying it like that to get everyone's attention. It's the gotcha of the Word of God. I just thought if I said a few words and I got some water, my hair wet. And then God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Then what's the purpose of me saying those words? What's the purpose of getting my hair wet? It's because God says, I'm going to make you have a new heart so my spirit can live in you so that now you can do it. Now you can actually please me. Now you can actually do what it takes to live holy. You can actually do it now. But you have to choose to do it. Praise the Lord. Let me remind you again. Sunday morning, 11. Wednesdays at 7. Check out our new website, cityonahillchurch.net, coachurch.net. Has all the information on there. And send that around to everybody. Also, of course, on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and all the things.
There's something posted every day.
There's something almost every hour.
Yeah, 7 days.
We've got things going up.
Something new.
Share the reels that are put up there. They're wonderful. They're little 2 or 3 minute examples of what God is speaking here, and they're succinct and they're really good. So go and check those out. Make sure to share them with everyone else. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of our Remnant Podcast. We'll see you next time.